good evening and welcome to Good Friday worship. We're glad that those of you who are here in person are here, and those of you who are watching online. This will be a reflective service, thinking about the suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we call it Good Friday because no greater act has ever been done. No greater way to show love could be imagined than what Jesus did for us on the cross. So on this Good Friday, we enter into worship. We come just as we are, but we come humbly. We come knowing that we stand in need of forgiveness. And God is the one who can give it to us through Jesus. So as we come tonight, let's begin with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you on this evening when we remember what Jesus did for us. It's incredible that though he was innocent of all sin, still he came and stood for us. He suffered on our behalf, suffered in unimaginable ways, and he did it so we could have life and we could be free. Tonight of all nights, we want to connect with that wonderful, gracious gift. So help us as we hear from the Word, as we sing together, as we reflect and pray. May we come to the cross tonight, ready to receive mercy and give thanks. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This time, Deborah will come and read Psalm 22.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the cries of my anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, but by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there's no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions that tear their prey open, their mouths wide against me. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him as all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it.
Remember. My servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there are many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness, so will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we were healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will, to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Amen. As our Good Friday worship continues, it's amazing to think that both of these passages that were read tonight were written hundreds of years before Jesus Christ was born in the flesh. And yet they predicted so accurately the things that would happen concerning him. Psalm 22 is what Jesus cried out on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And he was signaling people to go there and to read and to learn. And of course, Isaiah 53 so beautifully and specifically predicts his suffering on our behalf, that this was long planned, that he would be the one to make a way for all of us to be forgiven, though he was innocent of sin. So we know that this was God's plan from the very beginning. And so we know Jesus stepped with intentionality into these experiences, but still, it was with great cost that all of this took place. So we think of tithes and offerings and the ways that we try to give back to God. We do have plates that you can give on your way out if you want to tonight, or you can give online, or you can think about how you will give to others, how with your life and your time and your energy, you will try to share the blessings and the gifts that you have received from God. But he has shown us a sacrificial way of living and even laying down his life. So we should also give with great thanksgiving in return. I'm going to be reading tonight, as I often do, from John's Gospel, chapter 18 and 19. Everything that happens from on the evening that Jesus is arrested until he goes to the cross. So open your heart to the word of the Lord. Enter into these events as if you're there. Beginning at John 18, verse 1. After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers, together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees. And they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" They answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you're looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword back in its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First, they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside at the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "You're not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered, "I've spoken openly to the world. I've always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, "You're not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, the cock crowed. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. The Jews replied, "We're not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him. But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, "Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has claimed to be the Son of God." Now when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but 'this man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I'm thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." And then he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because that Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. So they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. They did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified so that you also may believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled, "None of his bones shall be broken." And again another passage of scripture says, "They will look on the one whom they have pierced." After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices and linen cloths, according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. And this is God's word. Jesus was sacrificed for our sins. in front of the world, put to the deepest shame. And yet he did not hesitate. He even died with purpose, knowing that it is finished. And so now we have a sacrifice worthy. We have the one who could die on our behalf, and he could be our key to forgiveness. A sacrifice of great cost had to be made for the sins of the world, for all the injustice across the ages, for the greed, for the abuses of power, for pride, for lust, for evil thoughts and actions. And in all of it, Jesus absorbed the punishment that was due on all humanity. But somehow, as he died, death did not win. Somehow, as he died, he secured for us life. Tonight, I don't want to explain it all away. Tonight, I want us to be in this moment of his passing. I want us to feel the shock of it. I want us to feel the emptiness that the disciples felt in that moment. But I do want us to know and understand that it was for us. It was not for nothing. It was for everyone who needs forgiveness. It was for everyone who will look to Jesus. It is for you and for your family and for your children and all who are yet far off, for any who would believe. Tonight, though there are so many mysteries about this that we don't even fully understand, we know enough to know that if we reach out for this mercy and love, we too can know forgiveness. So I don't know exactly where you're at on the journey of faith tonight. I don't know where you are in relation to Jesus. But I say to you emphatically, Jesus loves you. And he has shown us a love that is worthy of our response. Tonight, if you are in need of forgiveness, tonight, if you are in need of a Savior, tonight, if you know you need direction, then look to Jesus, the one who laid down his life in love. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for each person within the sound of my voice. And I pray in this moment that they could know that they are loved with an immeasurable love. I pray that each of us could feel seen in this moment, understanding that all of us have sinned. All of us fall short of the glory of God. All of us stand in need of a Savior. And so, on equal footing, we come here to the foot of the cross, to the mystery of a Savior pouring out his life, though he did not deserve it. And hopefully, Lord, in our hearts, we are reaching out for that love. And we say, Lord, forgive us. For those of us who haven't known the truth before, Lord, forgive us for our ignorance. And thank you for sharing with us the power of Jesus' love. And we confess our need of Jesus. We confess our need of his sacrifice. And we put our faith in him as the only one who could save us. We ask for forgiveness. We ask for newness of life. We ask for all that God has for us in love. And Lord, as we open our hearts tonight, I believe we are receiving it now in faith, the love, the forgiveness, and the new life that Jesus offers us. For some of us who know this story all too well, who have lived with these truths for many years, and yet perhaps we have not remained faithful to it, Lord, forgive us for ever taking it for granted. But tonight, Lord, renew in us a deep awe and respect for the love of Jesus and for the faithfulness of Jesus that secured for us salvation. And where we need forgiveness, we confess it to you now. And we are so grateful that your love flows into our lives unhindered when we ask for it. And we're thankful that that love goes to work in us, changing us. But Lord, tonight we are sad. We are sad that Jesus had to die. We are sad for any part we played in making light of sin and living in ignorance far too long. So, Father, we grieve tonight that Jesus had to die for us. But we also say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you. May we show respect, and in the hours to come, may we prepare to be ready to celebrate the great victory that was won on Easter Sunday. But help us now as we prepare to come to your table, Lord, to receive your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you who are watching online, we say good night to you. Thank you. God bless you. We'll worship on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. if you can join us here in person or online. But God bless you and good night. For those of us who are here, make your way to where there are communion elements nearby, and let's partake together.